This morning, as we begin and start to seek the Lord, we want to welcome Miss Amy Brooks. Miss Amy's here with us. Her daddy's on the prayer list, and we just want to keep Amy lifted up in prayer, too. She has been a caregiver for her mama, her daddy, and her sister, and everybody at work that's been out sick. So y'all will just give Amy a big hand of welcome.
Springs. It's so good to see each and every one of you this morning. It is an honor and a pleasure to be back to worshiping the Lord with you this morning. So I'm going to sing a couple of songs. But just worship with me. And we have so much to be thankful for this morning, because the God that we serve, He's coming soon. And he's told the church, just rise up and get ready for His coming and be about His business, telling the story of God. So y'all just worship with me this morning. Here He comes, stepping up from Bethlehem. Is just the start of the story. Here He comes. Oh, here He comes. Here He comes, teaching in the temple, making timeless wisdom sound simple. Here He comes. Oh, here He comes. Here He comes. I can't wait for the dawn. Congregation this morning, we could testify the goodness of the Lord and how he's brought us through. And my family, we live a testimony. Just say amen, church. Just say amen. We love y'all too. And woo, it's good in here this morning. Woo, hallelujah. Wes, I just want to say thank you. You hit me up on a Saturday afternoon when my dad was so critical. And we didn't know he was gonna make it. And he's been through a lot, so I was, you know, kind of. And the doctors were so baffled on a Saturday evening. They said, "We don't know if your daddy's going to make it." And I said, "Well, he's in God's hands." And as you all know, when God's children intercede for another sister or brother in the Lord and the throne of God, and people pressing to the throne of God, busting it wide open, God will work, church. And I went the next day, it was Sunday, and I talked to one, and he was in the medical ICU. And they said, "We didn't think your daddy was going to make it." I said, "I kind of did, because I said, man, if you only know the God that I serve." And through my dad and through all of us, I had worked with doctors and stuff. But there was not a doctor that I didn't talk to that I didn't say, "I'm praying for you," because I said, God gives y'all a special calling. And on a Monday evening, they had went through my dad's throat three times to control the bleeding ulcers. And every time I saw a 984 number pop up, I said, "Okay, Jesus, prepare me, because I don't know what it is." And one day, one of the doctors called me. He said, "This is the final time we're going to go into your daddy." And he said, "He's not a candidate for surgery. And, you know, you may want to thank some other kind of care." I said, "Well, you know," I thought to myself, I said, "Buddy, I'll let my God determine that." And we got through it. I got through asking some questions. And I said, "I just want to tell you something, doctor. You will be prayed for." And that doctor, he snickered. And I said, "You can snicker all you want to, buddy. But let me tell you something. God's got my daddy, and God's got it under control." And one of the next night, he was still on a vent. And I've shared this thing with Wesley and maybe Mona. And some of y'all friends of mine on Facebook, I've kept up my posts. But I want to just tell you the goodness and the power of God through that song, "Say Amen." I went in my daddy's ICU room one evening on my lunch break. And a lady had sent me a song by Kathy Controlli or somebody. Kathy Nicole. It was called "In the Name of Jesus." And Danny knew I was in the room because he was responsive. And he opened his eyes and smiled. And I played that song. And I sit there in the chair. And I just prayed over my daddy. And then I played some other song. And I played other songs. And church, I want to tell you something. I had a divine appointment with the master in my daddy's room that night. Because from that Tuesday night in the ICU room until the day, the power of God, He's raising them up. But I'm going to tell you something this morning, church. Whatever you may be going through, or you've been going through, or you've come out of, or whatever your circumstances is, I want to tell you that there's power in prayer, and there's power in the name of Jesus. And all we have to do this morning, church, is call on Him, and He'll meet our needs in His time. It may not be our time, but His time. I love y'all. Thank you. Just had to share.
Y'all keep Amy and Miss Rachel and Rhonda in your prayers, and Mr. Charlie also, and continue to pray for them. And we thank Amy for being here. This morning, if you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 13 is what we're going to look at this morning. Y'all give the young people a hand. I got sent after snacks for them yesterday, and I got thinking about it. I might ought to ask before I got fruit punch. They might have liked another kind of them sippy drinks. Yeah, I thought I better ask next time. It's a blessing to have them. Let's pray. God, Father, we come before you, Lord, and now we just thank you for your word. Lord, just that your word is powerful and alive and sharper than a two-edged sword. And, Lord, we just thank you for that. And we thank you for these young people, their parents that's bringing them. And, Lord, I just thank you for the way you've drawn us together and called us to come into your holy name, called us to come and to call upon your name, forsake the things of this world, Lord, and follow and delight in you. Lord, we just ask now that, Lord, the young folks in the back there, that, Lord, they'll be learning something today from your word that they'll store deep in their heart. And when the trials and tribulations of this world come, they'll know that you're still God and you still love them. That you know right where they are, you know what they need. And Lord, you'll never leave them or forsake them. And Lord, when they fall, you're faithful to forgive and to pick them back up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a famous passage here that gets quoted a lot about seek the Lord while he can be found. I wrote something about this, and I was thinking about preaching on it, and then it popped up, and I wrote a devotion on it the other week, and I shared that since COVID has come, our routines and everything about everything we do has changed a lot. And Mona and I was coming by here for something one evening, and I asked her if she wanted something to eat. She said she did, so I tried to call in our order to a local diner that we usually go to because I knew you can't even get into places no more, and I hate these drive-thrus that they weren't originally drive-thrus, so you don't get to order till you get to the window and you hold everybody up. So I called all the way to the diner from here, and I don't know if y'all like those messages, but I got two diners that I stop at sometimes, and both of them has got the same thing on their phone. It either says, "The customer you're calling's voicemail is full. Please try again later." Or it says, "The customer you're calling has not set up their voicemail. Please try again later." So I kept calling, couldn't get it. So we get there. We pull in the front of the place. I could see inside the building, all the windows, and it's a place your daddy and mama used to eat every Friday night. I used to see them there. Anyway, so I said, "Well, hey, the drive-thru was backed up all the way around the building and out in the road." And I said, "Well, hey, look, I'll just go in. What do you want, Mona?" So I go in, I walk up to the counter, and the young man says, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Yeah, I'd like to order." He said, "Did you call your order in?" I said, "No." He says, "Well, we're not taking no more orders." So I looked up at the clock, and it was 7 o'clock. And I said, "I thought y'all closed at 8. He says, "We do, but we don't take any orders after 7. So I grinned. I thought he was joking me, right? And he says, "Thank you." And he just turned around and walked off. The point of that story is we can't let our routines from yesterday determine what we do today. We can't let our routines of the past determine what God is going to do. God says here that you need, in verse 6, to seek the Lord while he can be found. Call upon the Lord while he is near. As we look at this passage, verse 55, chapter 55 is the close of the section of Isaiah from chapter 40 to here. From chapter 40 to here is talking about God's Messiah that will come and bring forth God's salvation. There's a lot of blessings, a lot of restoration there, a lot of explanation there. There's a lot of types of Christ. There's a lot of shadows. It's a lot of things that's happening in Isaiah's day, but it's pointing forward to what would happen when Christ would come and would be born and would live on this earth a perfect life, die a substitutional death, be buried for our transgressions and raised for our justification. It's got all this is in here, and chapter 54 and 55 kind of go together, but chapter 55 begins this way. It is a call out to everyone. 54 is a call out to Israel, God's people, to return to the Lord, the blessings they can have in salvation. Chapter 55 is a call to Israel, but it's also a call to everyone else. As I said, this word ho or hoi is the original word. It means at last. It means pay attention. It means listen up. It's like somebody hitting their fist, getting your attention. And God is saying, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat, come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Verse 2, why do you spend your money on what is not bread? Why are your wages spent for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercy shown to David. Behold, I have made him a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. Verse 5, behold, you will call a nation you do not know, and a nation which knows you not will run to you because of the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. What God is telling us to do here is to seek the Lord and delight in abundance. This echoes Jesus talking about in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says that the thief comes to rob and kill and steal. He says, but he come to give life so that we could have life and have it more abundant. This abundance that he's speaking of here is an abundance of God's mercy, his everlasting love. And we see in the close of this chapter that it is also his joy, his peace that he gives us. So we need to think this morning about seeking the Lord. We need to come, call, forsake, and delight in him. So he says, everyone who thirsts. First of all, this invitation of God to come is for everyone. It is for everyone. But many are called, but few are chosen. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 22, and when God calls, the call goes out to everyone, but who is the one who answers? Who's the one that calls? It's the one who thirsts. This idea of thirsting, they understood in the ancient Near East because it was so much desert there, so much dryness there, that you had to have water, you had to have bread. I mean, you can go weeks without bread, but you can only go days without water if you're thirsty. He's talking about a physical thirst here to as an illustration to explain about our spiritual thirst. In Matthew chapter 5 on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be satisfied. You hunger and thirst for the things of God. It's something you don't have. You realize that there's something missing in your life. He says, come to these waters. Jesus says in chapter 4, verse 14 of John's Gospel here to the woman on the well. He says, everyone who drinks this water, the water down in the well, they'll be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, he talks about the Holy Spirit springing up life, water flowing from us, giving us life. This that Jesus is talking about, this that God is talking about here in Isaiah, we need to come to the Lord for life. It says, buy and eat. What? The water and the bread that gives life, and wine and milk. Milk is talking about for the nourishment. Peter understood this when Peter wrote to the church that was already the believers that was saved. And he says in chapter 2 of 1 Peter verse 2, like newborn babes long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you've tasted the kindness of the Lord. So this idea of water brings life. The idea of milk brings nourishment, helps us to grow up in the Word of God. And the idea of wine. Now don't go tell everybody the preacher said for y'all go be drinking wine. Right? Wine is the idea of joy. We see that in Ecclesiastes and other places in the Bible. When Jesus, his first miracle in Canaan was to turn the water into wine because of the joy of that celebration, to show that the cleansing properties of the water that he turned was what he cleansed with was better than anything else, and the joy that it brought to life. The waiter says, what is this? Usually, you give the best out first and you save the cheap till everybody gets drunk. He says, but you've saved the best for last. It is the idea of joy. Now, Ephesians tells us not to be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is talking about salvation. It's talking about being filled with life, abundant life, a life that is full. That doesn't mean you don't have difficult times, but it means that we've got this abundance. We know that we are alive. We know we are in Christ. We know we're living for God, that God is with us. It is this delight. My grandpa Hardy, I never met him. He passed away before I was born. But this idea of delight is written on his footstone. There it says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Here's the idea in Psalm chapter 1. It says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. The word of God is more valuable today than I'd say ever before. And you say, well, hadn't it always been valuable? Yes, it has. But every now and then, I just take a moment and I will Google or DuckDuckGo, depending on which browser y'all use, search engine, and I'll do something that I know used to you would get a Bible verse because we was raised that way. And now, all we do is get some feel-good counseling thing that says you need this or you need that. I tried to Google a gospel song for this morning just to see if it would come up, and it took me 3 tries before I could get out of some secular music that was trying to change my thought pattern. If that makes sense. If you was looking for something in the Bible, you could just go Google it. But now if you do that, it's going to take you to a different message than the Bible. Now, there's nothing wrong with Bible apps. If you got Bible apps on your phone, that's good. Read the Bible. You need to compare things in the Bible. If you're going to have an abundant life, you got to be fed on the Word of God. You got to seek Him. And I got to hurry up, get done here. And he says here, look, here's the gift. It's for everybody that's thirsty. If you're missing something, if you're thirsty, you can come. This invitation is for everybody. Here's the beauty of it. How much does it cost? Nothing. This idea of buying money here before the Persians invaded and took Israel into captivity, they wasn't really minting coins. It's the idea of piling up your silver. You don't have to pile up your silver because you don't have no money to come. It says here, without money or without cost. You say, well, how do I get it? By faith. By faith. If somebody invited you to supper, by faith, you would go over and reckon they would have something for you to eat. Right? Unless you get there and they like, uh-oh, forgot. Here, when it talks about come without money, and in Revelation chapter 21, Jesus says the same thing, let those who are thirsty come and buy without money. What does it cost? Faith. You have to believe that if you're seeking God, you're going to delight in the life that He has for you. You're going to delight in knowing that that abundance that He has for you is greater than anything the world offers. Look what He says here. He asks y'all this question. Why do you spend your money on what is not bread and your wages on what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what's good. Do you know that God knows what's good for you better than you do? He says here, why do you buy what's not going to satisfy you? Waylon Jennings said it this way. Let's get back to Luckenbach, Texas, right? Keeping up with the Joneses, 2-car garage, we still adding on. You ever thought about that? What he's talking about here is why do you envy what other people tell you? Do you know the whole advertising business is built on the idea of us thinking if I just had that, everybody liked me? If I just had that, I'd look better than they do? If I just had that, everybody would think more of me? Jesus says here in Matthew, but here God is speaking. He's promising that the Messiah to come, that Jesus will satisfy us, that the things of this world will never satisfy us. I said this years ago when I first was at this church. When I think about the things that don't satisfy us in the world, I always think about a credit card. You know what my definition of a credit card is? It is a card that we buy something that we don't need with money we don't have to impress somebody we don't like. You ever thought about it? That's how credit cards get sold. They got it. You can get it too. Here, 29 easy payments. Here, the Lord says, why are you working all week long? Fill up a shopping buggy on Friday night trying to make your kids happy when all you got to do is bring them to church Sunday morning? You want to delight in something? Delight in the maker of heaven and earth. Delight in the one who created all things and said, it is very good. Delight in the one who knows what's best for you. He says, seek the Lord while he can be found. He says, come. Don't spend things on the things of this world. Delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear. In other words, pay attention. And all these are commands. Incline your ear, pay attention. He calls us to come to me. Listen that you may live. And then he says this. He says, I'll make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies I've shown David. Behold, I'll make him a witness to the people and a leader and a commander of the people. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, God tells David, when your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you who will come forth from you, and I'll establish his kingdom. He shall build a house in my name, and I'll establish his throne, the throne of his kingdom forever. I'll be a father to him, and he'll be like a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of man and with the strokes of the sons of men. But my loving kindness shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure before me forever. Your throne will be established forever in accordance with all these words and all this vision. Verse 18, then David the king went in and sat before the Lord and said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me this far? Have you ever just stopped and thought about what God's done in your life the last year and thought, Lord, who am I that you would bring this much abundance of joy, of peace into my life? You say, well, Lord, Brad, preacher, you don't know about the sickness. You don't know about the hurts. Can you imagine going through the pains and the troubles and trials without God's blessing upon our lives? Without God lifting us up? God says here, hey, look what I've done to David. Look how I blessed David. I blessed David and promised. I made a covenant with him that his kingdom would endure forever. And you see Solomon, you think Solomon, he's the wisest man in the world. You think he's going to do good, but he fails. God forgives him, but he fails. Other descendants of David through Saul, they fail. But then the Son of God, the Son of David, is born in Matthew. The Lord Jesus Christ, and he never fails. He never fails, and God establishes this covenant through Jesus. If you put your faith in Jesus, God is promising that you will delight in his loving kindness all the days of your life. He says, I've made him a leader and a commander. Can you think about David? He pretty much had everything in place when he wrote the 23rd Psalm. He's about defeated his enemies. Everything's going good. He's standing before the nation of Israel as their shepherd king to lead them. And what does he say? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for your rod, it comforts me, and your staff. You've prepared us a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. And surely goodness and kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what David's telling his people? It ain't me. It's God. God says right here, I made a covenant with David. I made him a witness so he could tell the people. You know why? I know what y'all thinking. Well, if I was like David, I could have killed a giant. If I'd done all this stuff, yeah, the Lord would be pleased with me. You know what God's saying right here? If I can show mercy to David, did y'all know that David went against God and numbered the people because he wanted to see how many people he had in his kingdom? The pride got him. Did you know he took his neighbor's wife? Did you know he killed his neighbor? David had some problems. Guess what? God forgave him and still used him. If God can forgive David, God can forgive Wesley, and God can forgive you. I love the way the Bible's so true. It shows us all the failures and then all of God's perfection. And here he says, and I'm going to make him a witness. I was thinking when she was singing about her daddy. I bought my first pole and chainsaw from Mr. Charlie Brooks. And I'm one of these that's always thinking ahead. So I'm like, Mr. Charlie, I want a saw that's going to last when I get out of school that I can keep for a long time. And he taught me into mine, I think it was like a 360 is the name of it. I wasn't thinking when I was about 13. Guess what? That thing weighed more than I did. Kept that pole and chainsaw for years and years and years. But here's what I want to tell you about Mr. Charlie and his God. When was the last time you went to a chainsaw shop and pull up in the yard, and instead of a chainsaw cranking up when you walk into the door, you hear a keyboard playing and him singing top of his lungs, "How great thou art." Mr. Charlie had a keyboard beside his workbench. When people come in, he'd witness to them and sing. He was a testimony to God's greatness, to God's mercy, to God's power. God says here, if you're thirsty, you can come. And I'll satisfy you with an abundance of mercy far beyond what you could ever imagine. Charles Spurgeon says it this way. Charles Spurgeon said this, talking about God's grace. He said, it's a sign of grace when a man is sick of self and is in harmony with God, when he ceases to rejoice in what he can do and comes to rejoice in what God has done and is doing, then a change is made within him. Charles Spurgeon there, what he's saying is here's when you're thirsty. Lord, everything I've done, like Isaiah said, is like filthy rags. Lord, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. My buddy Charlie Eubanks used to tell me all the time, Charlie, how you doing? Sick and tired of being sick and tired. That's what this is saying. You're thirsty when you've tried everything else in your life. You're like, I'm tired of this. I need something new. Lord, I'm thirsty. The Lord says, well, just seek. Jesus says, seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be answered. Keep asking and you'll receive. Here he says, behold, you will call a nation you do not know, and a nation which knows you not will run to you. And now he's talking about God's people. He says, because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Now think about this witness. He's talking about David here, but I got to fast forward to get us up to date to us. Are you saved this morning? Amen. Saved people are God's workmanship. He's created for works beforehand, so we'll walk in them. When we're walking in God's will and God's word, and he's working stuff in our life, instead of us being like Waylon Jennings and envying the Joneses and want a two-car garage and still be building on, guess what? Other people want what we got. Have you ever seen somebody like that? Everything's going wrong in their life, and they smiling and praising God like Amy was a while ago. And you say, I don't know what they got, but I need some of it. Do you know that's how the gospel works? We can share the gospel with people, but then when they look and see that God is working in people that has accepted an abundance of life through Christ Jesus, and they see a changed life, then they envy us. If you want to be envied for something, don't let it be your house, your job, your car, your wife, your kids. Let it be your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When you start saying, I want people to see what God's doing in my life, that's when your life starts becoming abundant. You say, well, I still mess up. That's what God just said here. I'm going to give you an abundance of mercy. Look what I done to David. Did David mess up? Oh, yeah. Did David mess up worse than me? I hope. I've made some bad decisions in life, but David really made some. Moses made some. Noah made some. Samson made some. You know what God says? I forgive you. You know the gift that we find in Genesis chapter 3? God gave us free choice. You say, well, didn't God know we'd choose wrong? Yep. But do you know if God hadn't gave us free choice, he could have never demonstrated his grace, his love, and his mercy to the fullest. not nothing you do. It's what Christ Jesus does. Here, he says that others will envy when they see. So as we close today, verse 6 says you need to seek the Lord while he can be found. Look, God is not like the restaurants that I call and their voicemail is full, not set up. It says, call on him while he's near. What he's talking about here is seek the Lord while he can be found. When can God be found? When you're closest to him. Do we all make mistakes? And I, just so y'all to know, mistake is a church word that means sin, okay? Lord, forgive me my shortcomings. It ought to be, Lord, forgive me my sins. But do you, when you're already saved and it says seek the Lord while he can be found, have you ever realized that when you mess up, when you gossip, when you get mad, when you're bitter against somebody, when you take something that don't belong to you, whatever it might be, have you ever realized it is real easy to ask God for forgiveness right when you mess up? But the longer you wait, the farther you drift from God. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He not only forgives us, but he takes away that habit or that hurt or whatever we're doing. He changes our behavior after he forgives us. We don't change our behavior so God forgives us. We ask for forgiveness so God will change our behavior. He says, seek the Lord while he can be found. So he says, come. Then he says, call. What does that mean? Pray. Pray to the Lord. Thank the Lord for the blessings you have. Pray to the Lord and ask the Lord to help you. Pray to the Lord and ask him to give you directions in your life. So when you come to the Lord, and this idea, if you're here this morning and you've never been saved, if you've never had a relationship with God, if you think, well, I will just wait. I got some more wild oats I need to sow. I had a buddy, and I just saw him recently. I'll never forget him telling me, and I thought I was saved too because I went to church, but I wasn't. I got saved when I was 31. But just before I moved from here and got saved, I'll never forget him telling me this. My grandma wants me to go to church, and I am. I'm going to start going when I get 40 years old because I've got some wild oats to sow, and when I get 40, I'm going to settle down. And believe it or not, he did. But how he knew he was going to live to be 40, I still don't know. I asked him, and he just grinned and looked at me. And Mona asked me when I got home, where'd you get that silver dollar? I said, I asked him how he knew he was going to live to 40 and then get saved. And he come back to me in about 30 minutes. He gave me a silver dollar. I said, what's this for? He says, I don't know. He says, I just want you to remember that the Lord did save me. But seek the Lord while he can be found. So when the Lord is calling you, you don't know what tomorrow might hold. You want to ask the Lord. You call upon his name. When you call upon his name, it's more than just saying, Lord, forgive me. Look what it says in verse 7. Lord, I'm thirsty for a new way of life. Lord, I want something new. Here's what the Lord says. You need to forsake the wicked ways that you was living in and the unrighteous thoughts that you have. And you need to return to the Lord. So you've been walking away from the Lord. You need to stop. You need to let that go. The Gaithers sung a song, I Can Go On, talking about I can go on forsaking my past behind me and talking about delighting or loving in the Lord's peace and in his love. And it's the idea of you got to stop. You got to set all this stuff down and you got to turn around and start following the Lord. Jesus told it this way in Matthew 22. He tells the story of a kingdom. It's a parable. It's like the kingdom of heaven. The king is preparing a wedding feast for his son. He sends all of his slaves out to invite people to the wedding. He's talking about the chief priests and the Pharisees, and here when he's telling this story in chapter 22 of Matthew, but they're unwilling to come. So again, he sends the slaves out again, and he tells those who've been inviting, I've prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fattened livestock are butchered and everything's ready, so come to the feast. In other words, God is patiently inviting people to enter into salvation with Christ Jesus. God is patiently waiting and inviting us sometime to return to Him when we have our failures and our shortcomings in life, when we sin against Him, when we get kind of envious of the way the world does stuff and we start going by the world's ways instead of God's ways. He wants us to call upon Him. He wants us to seek Him while He can be found. He wants us to draw near to Him, ask for His help. But look, it says they paid no attention and they went on their way. Here's what happens in the world today, and why the church pews, people ought to be knocking on the doors. We ought to have people lined up around here like my drive-thru was the other night. But people are indifferent. It says here that they paid no attention. They weren't really thirsty. It says they paid no attention. They went on the way, one to his farm and another to his business. Today, some people are so preoccupied and indifferent to the Word of God that they pay no attention. Or they get caught up, John MacArthur says about this passage, they get caught up in false religion. That was what was going on with the scribes and the priest here. They was caught up in their idea of religion instead of a relationship with God. And it says that they went on their own way. They had their own philosophy of life. A biblical worldview means that you view the world through the lens of the Bible. What God says is true is true. What God says is false, and that's the way you look at life. If you go your own way, you're saying that I can pick and choose so that what fits me in this moment is how I'm going to live my life. That'll get you in all kinds of trouble and send you to hell. You got to live by God's way. And it says here that some of them went to their job. Some people think that abundance of life is in the material things that you accumulate. How much you have. That you put all your faith in the things that you can see today and you'll worry about heaven later. But God says while He's near, we need to seek Him. We need to turn. And look what it says in verse 7. God will have compassion on us and to our God. He will abundantly pardon. So when we seek God and we're thirsty, we can come in faith. We can ask for life, joy. We can ask to be nourished on the Word of God. And God will what? Abundantly give us life. And verse 7 says He will also abundantly pardon. James, Jesus' half-brother, says that God's grace is greater than all our sins. There's nothing you've done that can't be forgiven if you come to God, ask God to forgive you, and also ask God to direct your paths. And then here's the reason we need to live God's way and forsake the ways of the world. Verse 8, let me give you two reasons. First reason, God's thoughts are not your thoughts, nor is God's ways your ways. And God gives us an example here. He says, as the heavens is higher than the earth, my thoughts is higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than yours. Now, what does that mean? The next time you're reading God's Word and there's something in there you don't like and you think you know more than God, you just walk outside and look up at the stars and you realize that God's wisdom is that much higher than yours. You got me? That's what God's saying. Look up. You see them stars? The distance there? That's my thoughts. Next time you want to do stuff your way, now I got to admit, I'm a Thomas. I like to do things my way. They might go wrong, and they might fall apart, but I'm not usually, it's hard to talk me out of doing them my way. But I have learned to try to coincide with God's Word. Amen? But if I've got a plan, I'll stick to it to the end usually. But here God says, look, if you're going the wrong way and you done passed the same store three times, you need to stop and buy a map. He said, my way is better than your way. And that's what we need to do. There's nothing wrong with seeking counsel. there's nothing wrong with seeking people to help you, but make sure that they're lining up their advice with God's word. That's what we need. We need Christians helping each other and lifting each other up in God's words. And he says here in verse 10, here's the second reason you need to forsake the world's way and seek to go my way and seek to think my thoughts. Look what he says in verse 10. As the rain and snow, which in Jerusalem or Israel, it didn't snow that much. It did snow sometimes. But the rain, when it would fall and come down from heaven, God says it does not return without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed for the sower and bread to the eater. This abundant life that you want, this water to come by, drink and eat, this word of God accomplishes God's purpose. Just like the rain comes down, waters the grass. All this rain we have last week, did you notice how quick all the dried, burnt grass turned green? Think about this. The rain come down, watered the grass, gave it life, it turned green to the glory of God. You ever thought about that? When you look out across, I love looking out across pastures in the morning with dew on them or the golf course or something where it's real green. It's the glory of God where the water's watered it. He says it will not return. It makes a full circle. The water comes down, the water waters, water evaporates, water goes back up. It's a complete circle. He says, in the same way, my word goes forth from my mouth. When God speaks, it does not return to me empty. One translation says void, without accomplishing what I desire. When God says, come, and we hear and we come, guess what? It is God's word that is calling us. You know, we say, I found Jesus. I've said this over and over. No, Jesus won't lost. Part of this calling is the idea of God's grace calling us to let us know what you've been trying doesn't satisfy. I've got something better. When his word goes out, the gospel message, there's one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And it'll accomplish God's purposes. Either people will accept it, or they'll harden their hearts against it. But when we accept it, we got to depend on the word of God to keep nourishing and feeding us as we go through life. He says it will not return without succeeding in the manner in which I sent it. And then here's our benefit of abundant life. In verse 12, here's another reason. It says, for you will go out with joy and be led forth in peace. So the joy of abundant life and trusting God, coming to God, praying to God, reading God's word results in joy and peace. Will you always go out in the mornings in good situations? No, some mornings you might go out and your tire be flat and the spare flat. But you can still have joy in knowing that God is with you wherever you go, whatever you do. I was coming down the road the other day, and I just thank God I saw the truck at the truck stop up here. And like I've said before, I drove a truck so long, I watched the wheels to see if the wheels are slowing down. His wheels was not slowing down. He was coming through the parking lot. Don't know what he was doing, but it had nothing to do with the southbound lane of highway number one. So I stopped dead in the road, cars trying to stop behind me, and he just come right out in the middle of the road. Not at the stoplight, at the parking lot. Nobody seen him. You know my first thoughts? Now, I could have said, man, I'm a good driver. But my first thoughts was, thank you, God, for letting me see that. Whatever he was looking at, how about I'd been looking at the same thing and drove up under that truck? How about the cars behind me? If I hadn't have been here to stop, they might not have seen it, and one of them could have drove up under it. Have you ever thought about that? When you pray for somebody to have a safe trip, have you ever prayed not just for their protection, but for the cars around them to be protected? See, God's word does not return empty. We can go out in joy. We can be led forth in peace. It says here that the mountains and the hills will break forth in shouts of joy before you. The trees and the fields will clap their hands instead of the thorn bush and the cypress. The cypress will come up instead of the thorn, instead of the needle. The myrtle will come up, and it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off. These last two verses, Pastor James has been talking about this, and he's fixing to get into the millennial a little later on our Wednesday night Bible studies. But wouldn't you agree with me? This is talking about the millennial. One day God's going to make everything new. There's going to be peace. There's going to be joy. And when we experience that, it's going to be everlasting. It's going to go into eternity. All sin, all wickedness is going to be removed. That'll be the new heaven and earth after the millennium. But we'll have this peace and this joy. But guess what? You can have a foretaste of it now by continually seeking the Lord. I really believe in the next few years it's going to be harder and harder to find anything about the true God who made heaven and earth on TV, on radio, on social media. I think we're going to be driven back to the written word of God and all those who are thirsty and seek will find an abundant life in the Lord. Let us pray. Kind Father, I just come before you this morning. And as we think of your grace, Lord, I just pray that as we think of your grace, Lord, that we would just ask each of us, we'd ask ourselves this morning, is it something in my life I'm sick of? Is it something in my life that's not in harmony with God? Lord, have I been standing in my own abilities, in my own thoughts? Lord, am I tired of trying to do things my way? Am I willing to seek you and seek to start doing things your way? If you've been a Christian a long time, I just asked you this morning. When the Lord says, come, do you listen? When he says, call, do you pray? When he points out something in your life you know you need to leave behind, do you let go of it? Do you delight more in the thoughts and the ways of the Lord than you do in your own desires? This morning I just charge you as you leave here to seek the Lord continually. Pray to him. Make it a habit to pray at each of your meals, and make a habit to pause at night before you go to bed and think of the things the Lord's done for you today and just thank him. Also, if you hear and you know that your life is in disarray, you know that it's something missing, you know that God's got something better for you, it's this simple to be saved. You just say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Lord, I believe you come to this earth. You live the life that I should have. You never sinned, yet you died the death I deserve. Thank you for dying in my place. I believe you was buried and raised 3 days later, so I know that God accepts your sacrifice for my forgiveness. Forgive me now, Jesus. Take control of my life, then I may delight in your abundance. In Jesus' name I pray. If you prayed that, raise your hand. Amen. 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 Kind Father, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you that we can delight. Delight in your pardon. Delight in your life that you give us. Lord, we thank you for giving us your word. And Lord, we thank you that if we follow the Bible, we know in the end, we not only win, but everything you say will be proven right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I don't know if I will ever understand it. Life always happens like like it does. Even though I know we're only here for a while, how long it never seems like long enough. I don't know just when my time's coming. Still I know God has planned for me. Even though I know we're only here for a while, won't be long, I wonder how we'll be.
The greatest gift you'll know is if you know you'll be there. How many of y'all know you'll be there? Amen. Jesus says, I go and prepare a place and I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. And that's the greatest promise that we have. Thank y'all for coming. Let us pray. Kind Father, we come before you now and just thank you for this blessed day. And Lord, I thank you for everyone that's here. And I pray, Lord, that we will all week long remember to seek you while you can be found. Lord, that we'd call on you while you're near, that, Lord, we would stay close to you. Lord, you'd keep us clean from the defilements of this world and keep us close so that we're in fellowship and constantly praying and speaking with you. And, Lord, may we just evaluate our lives at the end of the day and thank you for the things you've protected us from and asked you to forgive us for the things where we failed you. And, Lord, I just pray that every morning when we wake up, we can say this is the first day of the rest of my life with Jesus Christ. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.